Breaking the Borderline Stigma. I'm Krista Nicole. I'm a life coach for highly sensitive women and women with borderline personality disorder, helping you to create a protective emotional skin to learn to love all of you and to let your gorgeous light shine despite the darkness. And by the way, I'm also a highly sensitive person and a BPD conqueror myself. Hello and welcome back, my beautiful BPD and or HSP friend. I'm so happy to have you here as always, just like I say in every episode, because it is very much true. I'm so happy that you are joining me for another episode this week. And before I get into the content, I feel like I also say this every week before I get into the content, I do want to share an update that I am considering and most likely will be doing is updating the podcast name. Not a huge update, but I am going to update it to be Breaking the Borderline and Sensitivity Stigma because I think they are so closely related. And rather than doing a brand new podcast to encompass all of the individuals who may listen to this who are highly sensitive individuals but may not have BPD or are just more emotionally sensitive. Maybe they don't have the heightened sensitivity of the sensory processing, but I want everybody to feel welcome here because it has been my experience that the two go very closely together. They may or may not. That may not be the case for you. That has just been the case for me. And I can see how they can be so very closely related or how one might lead to the other. So I think it's important to include everybody in that because so much of what individuals with BPD struggle with, I believe, are the same struggles that individuals with the sensory processing, highly sensitive person struggles with, or emotionally sensitive. And I say this based off of not just my experience, but also a lot of observations that I've seen within many of the groups that I'm in and questions that pose and just struggles that I see people post about. I just see a lot of crossover. So I think it's important. So now that that's out of the way, I just wanted to let you know that way if you do see a change happen, it is still the same podcast. I just want to make it a little bit more inclusive to include all of us who do have that emotional sensitivity, that highly sensitive individual, and of course my BPD friends. So in today's episode, I want to talk about recognizing the trauma that underlines BPD or underlies BPD. And this is not something that I was originally planning on talking about today, but it actually came up because of something that has been in the headlines lately. And I think it's important to, while this may be difficult to hear in terms of how trauma is very closely related to BPD, and I think that individuals who have more sensitivity are more likely to experience trauma because we have these beautifully fine-tuned nervous systems that picks up on things that other individuals may not necessarily pick up on. So the reason that this kind of came to mind today is because there has been something making headlines lately. And if you are in the United States, you may or may not be aware. You're probably more likely aware than maybe if you're listening to this in another part of the world. But there is a case between the actor Johnny Depp and his, I guess, ex-wife now. I'm pretty sure they are divorced now, Amber Heard. Now, let me just say that I don't watch the news. I think for good mental health maintenance, the news is very detrimental to that. I mean, if you watch it, it's full of negativity. It's very doom and gloom, and there's reasons behind it. That's what sells. And quite frankly, sadly, a lot of news outlets, I mean, that's what they're in the business of, sales. That's not to say that there isn't truth in what they're saying necessarily, although there is spin, but or oftentimes, I mean, I can't say that for sure. I'm just speculating, but they tend to do negative stories. That's just how it is. So this is something that I picked up on when I was a kid. And I remember actually feeling shame around the fact that I didn't watch the news, more as a young adult, because kids don't tend to watch the news. But as a young adult, like, I felt shame, and I would tell people, look, you know, I figure if it's bad enough, I'm going to find out one way or another. And if it's not, then I don't need to know about it, because I can't do anything about it. All it is going to do is make me feel like the world is on fire. We're all going to hell. We're all going to die. Like, it's just, there's nothing we can do. It's all hopeless. And I don't want to live my life like that. I was already inundated with so many external factors affecting my mental health and my well-being that I didn't want to add one more thing to it. So because of that, I don't watch the news. And I actually want to invite you to not watch the news either if you're someone who does. Just try it out for a week or two and see if it helps with your emotional well-being, your mental well-being. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it won't. I just try it out as an experiment and see if you start to feel a little bit better. Although I suspect a lot of the people who listen to this probably don't watch the news because it is very overstimulating. But that being said, the trial between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard has been making the news, at least on social media. And this is not something that I was really paying attention to. It's something that would pop up in my feed. But again, I didn't really pay attention to it a lot. Now, a friend of my husband's, they had been talking back and forth, and he mentioned that he was learning a lot about BPD because evidently Amber Heard has a BPD diagnosis and a histrionic personality disorder. Histrionic would be more like history related, right? But anyway, so she has both of these, and he said he was learning a lot from this about BPD because he knows some individuals who've had that diagnosis, and he didn't really know anything about it. And he was talking about how, you know, there was one doctor that was really good, and then another doctor that was not so good. And what I had said to my husband was, well, that's good that he's learning a lot. I would also be curious as to what they're saying, because there is a lot of misconceptions, I believe, about BPD. And I think that anybody who really studies it, who really, like someone who's DBT trained, who has really taken the time, knows that it's very misunderstood in general by the mental health community. Like, there are some therapists who won't work with people with BPD, which to me is just, like, mind-blowing, because you got into therapy to help people, right? I mean, that's why I would think you would want to become a therapist, and yet you're not willing to help people who need help. But that's just my own personal take. Again, I'm not a therapist. I don't know what sort of training they go through. But I do know that, of course, that's why I started this podcast. There's a lot of stigma behind it. So I said, you know, you just want to be careful, because I'm curious as to what sort of biases were inflicted by this individual. So it did get me curious, and I looked it up. And I didn't know who it was who had the diagnosis of BPD, if it was Johnny Depp or if it was Amber Heard. I had my suspicions, because women do tend to get diagnosed with BPD more. However, studies have shown that it's pretty evenly split between men and women who actually have BPD, have developed BPD. But women, I think, are diagnosed like 70-30 split, 70% women diagnosed versus 30% men, which is something that came up in the one article that I did read about it, which I'll be honest, kind of peeved me off because it's like, they didn't mention the fact that it's like, yes, that is the case, but really studies have shown that it's more like 49-51 in terms of men to women of who actually have BPD. Again, it all plays into the stigma. So one of the things that this forensic psychologist said at the very end of the article, and I don't know if this was one that my husband's friend thought was one of the good doctors in terms of explaining it, or one of the not so good ones, but I guess they asked, does trauma cause BPD? And her answer was no, because not everyone with BPD has trauma in their past. Now, again, I am not a therapist. I don't do scientific research. However, I have been going to, I started this program with the Institute for Trauma and Psychological Safety. And I firmly believe that every single person on this planet has some sort of trauma. I'm not talking about going to war trauma. That's a big T trauma. I'm talking about little T traumas, death by a thousand paper cut traumas. And there's a book that I am reading right now about complex BPD. And they were talking about how I think it's 65 to 70% of individuals with BPD have some sort of past trauma in their history, in their childhood, some sort of past childhood trauma, but not everybody. But I don't know that that actually accounts for all of those little T traumas. Like, I think that when I've read about it, what I think they're talking about are big T traumas, like sexual abuse or physical abuse or neglect, things like that, that it's very obvious that, like, yes, this causes trauma. But I don't think it takes into account little T traumas where it's the same negative response by a caretaker or someone who's very close to you, the same negative reaction that you receive from them over and over and over and over again. That is trauma. I'll go into some examples of this in a minute. But when I read that line of that woman saying, no, trauma does not cause BPD, like just that, it made me think, okay, this is why I don't read any sort of news crap. Like, this is why. Because I 150,000% disagree. Again, in my professional opinion, quote unquote, right? Like, because I'm not a therapist, but in the studies that I have done and the work that I am learning through the Institute, I do not see how you can get through life without having some sort of trauma in your past. Now, that being said, people respond differently based off of their sensitivities, based off of their chemical makeup, whatever. There's various reasons, okay? So one thing that can be very traumatic to one person can have that same thing can happen to another person, and it's not so traumatic. So there are nuances, but if we look at Marsha Linehan's biosocial theory of what causes BPD, that's having an emotional sensitivity, or she says vulnerability, and being raised in an invalidating environment. If you have an emotional sensitivity, and I think if you have a sensitivity, if you are a highly sensitive person who has sensory sensitivity, light sensitivity, clothing sensitivity, you're going to experience trauma. It's just going to happen. Like, if for no other reason, just simply being told over and over again how you are too sensitive, That's trauma. That becomes very traumatic. When I try to think about how I want to explain what I do to other people in terms of my coaching, it's hard for me to articulate for the sheer fact that I honestly hate saying, like, from too sensitive, quote unquote, too sensitive or so sensitive or emotionally sensitive, helping those individuals thrive and really step into their power and who they are meant to be and who they really are inside, but haven't had a chance to become. It's the part of saying too sensitive or overly emotional or emotionally sensitive. Like, I cringe. I actually cringe at that because I heard that so much growing up. And it's triggering in a way, but there's really no other way for me to properly describe it to anybody, because that's like the stereotype that we deal with. And that's what we hear growing up. And when you hear that over and over and over again, it is traumatic. So when I read things like, oh no, trauma doesn't lead to BPD. Sure, maybe not all traumas. Like if war veterans who have significant trauma, which are likely all of them, because how could you not? That doesn't mean that they're going to have BPD. But there is this concept that I talked about, I think in episode 2, of why you need to watch the Me You Can't See, where if you experience trauma at a young age, it is like, and we're talking about little micro traumas too, not just the big traumas, but little micro traumas, repeated death by a thousand paper cuts over and over again, people constantly invalidating you, invalidating your feelings, invalidating your experience as a human being. That is like a bush, a little bush that gets hit with this huge gust of wind, like hurricane type wind. Likely those bushes are going to be uprooted. But if the same wind comes and hits a full grown tree, aka an adult, they're not going to be uprooted in the same way that that little bush was, or that that little sapling was, that little tree. Trauma at a younger age much more deeply affects us than trauma as an adult. If you were to take the same two circumstances, or rather, you took the same circumstance and you put an adult who had a relatively stable upbringing, had a good sense of self, had confidence, parents who were supportive in the ways that he or she or they needed, and you put them in the same situation as a child, who do you think is going to be more affected? That adult is likely going to be able to walk away, and they may still feel some of the effects, but that child is going to need so much more care and understanding and empathy and guidance provided to them. And when they don't receive that and they grow up and can't figure out why they respond the way that they do, why they can't trust their intuition, why they can't trust their own feelings, why they don't even bother to try to feel their feelings because they've always been wrong to begin with, that's trauma. So I don't really know how you can possibly say that trauma and BPD are not directly related. Now, if that psychologist was meaning to say, like, just because you go through a trauma doesn't mean you'll develop BPD. Well, yeah, sure, you could go through trauma and not develop BPD. But, and I will say, I've seen in groups where people have said, I had a really good upbringing and I have BPD. Okay. I I felt like that as well. When I first started seeing my therapist who knew about BPD, and I think I've mentioned this, where she diagnosed what, like, she, you know, she talked about, like, okay, once we get kind of the emotions under control and the suicidal ideation, because I had a lot of that, once we get that to a good baseline where it's not something that is constantly there, then we can start to dig into some of the trauma of your past. And I thought, I don't have any trauma. What are you talking about? I have no trauma in my past. And I laugh about it now. I was even talking to an acquaintance of mine who works with loved ones of BPD individuals to help them understand, like, what their BPD loved one is going through and how to best support them. And I remember talking to her about this because I was talking to her about, like, the coaching that I do and the women that I work with. And I told her that, and she laughed too, because she's like, you can't have BPD and not have trauma. Like, she even, this is what I'm saying. And I know that this is probably hard to hear, because if you are someone who thinks, oh, I don't have any trauma in my past, it's hard to hear. And it's hard to actually kind of wrap your head around the idea that you could have trauma. Because, I mean, I know that my parents loved me. And I also experienced a lot of trauma. There is this idea, this of, in this feminine power training that I have done, of, it's called holding paradox. And it is holding two opposing truths, essentially, which is what DBT is, dialectical behavioral therapy, is holding two opposing ideas, that both things can be true. I can have been raised by loving parents, and I can also have experienced trauma from them. They can be the same. They can be both true. In my case, they are, because raising kids is hard. It's hard to know what they need. And when you haven't gotten to the point where you're able to, or even recognize that you have your own past painful learnings, past traumas, and haven't processed them, and you haven't encountered anybody who was like me, who was a highly sensitive, is a highly sensitive individual, who would be hurt very easily, both emotionally and physically. I know I shared, I think in the previous podcast episode or two, how my mom used to chase me around with a hairbrush because brushing my hair hurt. Like, she would yank on it. And I'm sure to her, she wasn't yanking that hard. But for me, it hurt. It was yanking really hard because I have more sensory processing sensitivity. So when you haven't encountered somebody like that and you don't know how to manage it, you don't know what you don't know. You raise them in the best way that you know. And oftentimes, with the way that we've been raised, there's generational traumas in terms of how people have been raised. It gets passed on. So part of breaking the cycle is starting to recognize that and being really gentle with yourself, being really empathetic with yourself. Because another thing that my feminine power coach talks about is we can't feel empathy and shame at the same time. So if you look at your past as much as you can without it sending you down a downward spiral, because I certainly would never want that. But if you're able to start looking at your past, at some of those things, just like, for example, me, being called too sensitive or so sensitive over and over again was traumatic for me. And now I recognize that. And instead of feeling shame, I do feel empathy for that little girl. For that poor little girl who just wanted to express her feelings, but wasn't allowed to do it. The other thing I will say is, this stuff gets stored inside of our bodies. And so you have big T traumas that create, and this is true with little T traumas. There is a chemical cycle that goes on when your body gets put into the trauma response, the fight, flight, freeze. We'll just call it that, even though there's more, but that's what everybody's familiar with. It's the fight, flight, freeze mode. When our bodies experience that, there are chemicals that are released within us, and it puts us into action, whatever that action may be, whether it is to fight or whether it is to flee or whether it is to freeze. It puts us into some sort of action. And it also takes a certain amount of time, and I can't remember the amount of time now, but it takes a certain amount of time for your body to release those chemicals. And if you don't get those chemicals released, it gets stored inside of your body. So that's kind of another way to think about it. If you're thinking about it, and you're like, you know what, I don't have any trauma in my past. Well, has there ever been a time where you recall kind of getting into that response or feeling so, like for me, I get stuck in the freeze mode a lot. And I still do. Like if I encounter someone who is just like so abrasive or so like all of a sudden they get into this really like fight mode and I witness that and I'm just like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, why does that person think it's okay to treat somebody like that? Like that's me like going into freeze mode. If they do it to me, I will not respond. I'm just like, I can't even think of the words. So that's going into a trauma response. And when we come out of that trauma response, we often, as human beings, do not allow ourselves, because of the way that we are raised, to get rid of those chemicals. It's essentially like a snap out of it type of thing. And when we don't get rid of those chemicals, it stays stored in our bodies. This is an actual scientific thing. Like this is, so if you think about an animal, this is something that one of my coaches, Dr. Lee, talks about a lot. If you think about an animal that's being chased by a lion, you think about a gazelle being chased by a lion, and they're able to get away, they're able to outrun the lion. Any sort of animal that has gone through a trauma, that is a trauma thing for them, they will shake afterwards. That's them, that's their bodies releasing those chemicals, those endorphins, those, you know, whatever all of the chemicals are, that's them releasing it. I had a dog that passed away in January, and she was one that I got. Both of my dogs, or all of my dogs, have been rescues. And I got her after about a year. She was about a year old. They thought that she had had a litter of puppies. She came from a bad breeder. And I'll tell you, that dog had trauma. I don't know what her, like, I feel like if there was some sort of dog form of schizophrenia, she had it, like legit had it. She would be fine. And then all of a sudden it would just like, she'd shift like with no warning. A lot of the times it didn't happen a lot. Like it wasn't something where I felt danger from or anything like that. Like, and for those times, once I learned, I mean, we learned how to manage it so that we were all safe and, you know, and she was all of like 8 pounds. So, but she would, I know there would be times where like, if she got caught in the rain or she got caught, like, I can't even think of one of the times now, but she would sit there and she would shake. And it's like, and it wasn't even the times she'd get caught in the rain, because I just would assume that she was cold. But no, it was other times where she just, like, something would happen. She'd be shaking. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I would try to pet her and calm her down. And that was her little body releasing the trauma that she had just been through. And if she hadn't done that, I mean, I don't even know if dogs are capable of not releasing, like if they're capable of hanging on to the trauma, but we as humans do. So I hope that helps to kind of understand a little bit and start to unpack a little bit as to how trauma may be playing into and likely is playing into your BPD or your sensitivity, and how it has affected you. Because the thing is that we learn coping mechanisms as children of how to keep ourselves safe. And they're very effective for what they are at the time that we need them. But we learn these behaviors and then we grow up and we become adults and we start to realize that we don't have to necessarily live by those standards of other people. But we don't learn different habits and coping mechanisms. So we revert back. And so like those trauma responses that kept us safe now become something that is no longer serving us. So it's hard to unlearn those patterns, but I can tell you it is absolutely possible. And it does take a long time. Heck, I'm still unlearning a lot of them. Like there are things where my coach and I affectionately call my brain my asshole brain. And I think I mentioned this last time, because my asshole brain tells me a whole lot of shit all the time. And most of the time, my internal dialogue is my asshole brain talking a bunch of shit to me that I know isn't true. From a cognitive, logical standpoint, I know it's not true. But on an emotional level, there's something there that I still feel like it is. So I've started to try and separate that to know when to listen, essentially, to my asshole brain and say, thanks, asshole brain, for trying to keep me safe, but I'm going to do this thing over here, or just to completely shut it down. And this is something that I've been working with my coach for about a year now. And it's something that we're just starting to get to. I mean, I don't want to say just starting to get to, because it's always been, there's always been some sort of element of unpacking that trauma, but there are many layers to it. But I'll tell you, each time I get through another layer, I feel that much better and I have a better understanding. So breaking this habit, even though I have a better understanding, it is hard. But it is so possible. And that's what I am here to help you to do. Hopefully in conjunction with a therapist, because I will say, I think it's still, I will never tell someone not to have a therapist. I still think that is good mental health maintenance and guidance, because again, I'm not a therapist. What I do is I really help to help my clients to transform their life. One of the things that my feminine power coach says, that healing takes place on the same level, but transformation takes place on multiple deep levels. And there are ways that we work together to really unpack some of this stuff without having to go into the trauma, which is amazing. I mean, it's like there's things that I'm working with now with her, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's so incredible. Anyway, I think that this has probably been one of my longest episodes, if not the longest episode that I've done, aside from the interview that I did do with Dr. Lee. So I'm going to leave it there, but I do want to circle back because I know I said in the very beginning that I would talk about kind of the little T traumas versus the big T traumas. And I feel like I gave you an understanding of what it is and how to look at it. But let me just break it down a little bit more. So, and I'll use myself as an example. So again, my therapist told me, oh, you know, we can go into the trauma. And I thought, I didn't have trauma, right? I didn't have trauma. Even though I was in New York City, in Manhattan, basically up the street from the World Trade Centers on 9/11. I was in school. I could walk down to the corner of 27th and 8th Avenue. That was the corner of my school. And I could see the Twin Towers when they were there. Like, I could very well see them. And yet I was there on 9/11. I experienced that. That's a big T trauma. For me, I'd say it was like a medium-sized T trauma because I wasn't down there by the buildings, but I was there. That was kind of a collective trauma for the nation too, I think. But that's an example. I spent a year in Italy, and the woman who lived above us was murdered. I heard it, and I had to go to the Italian police station, the Questura, for questioning. That's something that could be equated to kind of a big T trauma, being in a foreign country, having this thing happen. Granted, and I always minimized it, and I still do, but, you know, because I wasn't the family it affected, but there was some trauma there. Those were some more of my big T traumas. And I guess I should have put a whole trigger warning on this whole episode. So I hope that this hasn't been triggering. If it has, I you know, that's certainly not my intention. Reach out to me. I can help with grounding you, or certainly reach out to your therapist if it has been. But so those are some of my kind of big T traumas. But then some of my little T traumas were things like being repeatedly called too sensitive. A little T trauma that I didn't experience a ton of, although I did on one, it's a long story I won't go into. I did some, but not to the extent that other people, but one of these would be being yelled at constantly. That's a little T trauma. Not being allowed to show your emotions, which teaches us to not trust ourselves, to not trust what we're feeling. But having those emotions minimized by our caretakers, those are little T traumas. Being bullied is a little T trauma. Being neglected, I would say, that could kind of, I would say, go either way. It depends. I think it depends on your age and how long it lasted. But that's another example. So again, I hope that helps to kind of clarify, just to circle back there. I hope that this has been helpful for you. If you would like to chat more on your specific situation, if you would like to talk about working together with me coaching you, and again, what I really do is I help women to transform and really become who they are at their core, who they are meant to be, who they came here to be, by unwrapping some of that crap that has been put on you, for lack of a better term. Really helping to break free from that and transform your life. So if that's something you're interested in doing, again, you can book a discovery call with me. The link to do that is in the show notes. If you also, for any reason, were triggered by this episode and want to talk more, you can book a discovery call with me, or you can shoot me an email and say, hey, I'm happy to give advice. I'm happy to point you in the direction that I think may be helpful for you, because that might be in the direction of a therapist or a mental health professional. And that's why I say that I'm happy to point you in the right direction, but I will also help you to work through a little bit of this if I can. Okay. So if that's something you're interested in, again, my metaphorical door is always open. You can book a discovery call with me. The link is in the show notes. I hope that this has provided a little bit of guidance and shed a little bit of light. And I just want to invite you to, when you start to think about this, if you're ready to, because you may not be ready to, and if you're not, that is okay. And there's no shame in that. But if you are ready to start thinking about that and think about things that have happened in your past that may have led to some of these sensitivities and some of these reactive states that we can get in, then just be really gentle with yourself. Be really kind, like you would a friend in need. And show yourself some loving kindness, some empathy, some compassion. Because whether you have BPD or you are emotionally sensitive or you are a highly sensitive individual, there is no doubt in my mind you have been through some shit. And oftentimes having someone who just understands, not necessarily the exact thing you've gone through, but that you have gone through a lot of crap, and you're still standing and you're still hanging in there, that is power. That is comfort. Or it can be comforting, I should say. At least I have found it to be, knowing that I'm not alone. So I think that's finally it for this episode. I hope that this has been helpful. Thank you so much for listening. I will chat with you next time. Until then, be gentle. Be very empathetic with yourself. Show yourself some grace and some love. And until next time, I will chat with you then. So happy and grateful for you. And sending you much, much love. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast and would like one-to-one support, sign up for a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.